The following program was produced by an independent community producer. The opinions expressed do not necessarily reflect those of the ECAT staff or board of directors.
Greetings and welcome to Service Matters, a weekly radio show that talks about the good things that are happening in local communities and beyond. We also talk about the good things that people do, like our guests will talk about today. We certainly here at WPRO, the voice of Southern New England. You can hear us on AM 630 or FM 99.7. We are indeed a Cumulus station, and we like to talk about the good things and how important that is. You know, the world's gotten a little crazy. And I think it's so important that we capitalize on the many good things that are happening out there. Our listening area would be on the radio, certainly Rhode Island, Massachusetts, and Connecticut. And of course, today's radio show is being televised by ECAT, Eastern Community Access TV. Our guest today is a longtime Sharonite. His name is Mike Kiernan. And Mike grew up, I guess, on Massapog Ave in Sharon, but he also has been very much involved in theater. And there may be folks out there that certainly are familiar with community theater because almost every community has a theater group, a chance to perform, a chance to go on stage. And some of them start out in high school and then they want to continue. And very few go on to Hollywood, but the fact is that it's a chance to express yourself. And so we're going to talk about the arts today. We're going to talk about community theater. And Mike, I did mention that you have been an active community person in Norfolk County, residing in Sharon, Massachusetts, which is next door where this studio is here in Eastern Massachusetts. But tell us about yourself first, Mike. I know you and your wife, Rosalie, have been very active members of your community. How'd you get involved in community theater? That's another question I wanted to ask.
It probably starts with my youth. I did some, a little bit of acting in the early, like, middle school years, and that was important to me. But I did some acting in college, and then I was too busy in my career for the next 40 years or so, 35 years. And about 19, when I was about 55 years old, sort of on the western slope of my career, I had realized I'd missed the chance to be on stage and that kind of thing. So I got involved in a choral group, the Neponset Choral Society, to sing, and that was like a once a week business, and I was there for 3 or 4 years, and at one point. The Neponset Choral Society decided to do a musical show, and I can't remember the name of it now.
I saw you perform a few times, and I thought you were absolutely terrific.
We were in that. We did some musicals. I was in musicals for 4 or 5 years. And then in the early 90s, I got with a group under the direction of a man named Tom Hunter, who was a retired film actor and very successful one and a writer. And Tom was doing theater, drama clinics for anybody around. And I got involved with him and learned a lot of the craft of acting under his direction. And in 1996, we formed a an organized corporation, a community theater group called the New England Repertory Company. And I had had a lot of management skills and stuff, so they made me the president of it while Tom was the artistic director. So my job was basically to help him run the show.
I met someone, Mike, that knows you very well and said to me that you've been acting up since you were a kid.
That's true.
I didn't go into details on that, but the fact is that you've got a terrific sense of humor as well. We also have here in the TV studio, we have a young fellow who goes to Southeastern Regional High School.
They have a theater.
And he's a sophomore, and he has some interest in sitting in to see how we do a radio broadcast that's being televised. Why don't you tell our audience your name? Speak right into that mic.
My name is Jaden Tebow.
Very good.
Jason?
Jaden.
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 Jaden, they have a terrific theater department at his school.
Yeah.
And I had some connection with them for a while when back a few years ago. In fact, I have a grandson that majored in theater arts from at Southeastern.
Well, he sits here, and it's obvious that he's a Celtics fan because he has a Celtics jersey on.
Yep.
And a hat. He likes those green colors. Yeah. But, you know, we're closing in on St. Paddy's Day, and I know that's always a big celebration day for you.
No.
No.
How do you know that? And my name is Irish, but I'm not. I'm just American. And
your wife was celebrating, but
no, she's
didn't
a Charmantero. She's Italian as they go. You have it wrong, Dave.
If you just joined us, folks, you're listening to WPRO, the voice of Southern New England. And we talk about the good things that are happening in local communities. And today, we have the honor and privilege of speaking with Mike Kiernan, who has been very active in community theater. But tell us about that New England Repertory Group.
Yes. Okay. The New England Repertory Company, we organized in 1996 and have been doing plays ever since then. That's 28 years. For a long time, I was headquartered at Mansfield Music and Arts Society, now called the Mass Arts Center in Mansfield. And I left there, and I mainly directed, but I did some acting. And I left there about 6 years ago, and our little group moved to Temple Sinai in Sharon. And we set up a theater in the social hall, and we're set up to do three plays a year there, most of them with Jewish authors or Jewish themes. And that's a very wide range, because right at the beginning you have Neil Simon and Arthur Miller and Israel Horowitz and Wendy Wasserman, and some of the big names in theater are ethnic Jewish. I don't know that they're practicing Jews or anything like that, but they have Jewish names and say so.
One of the things I would like to do, seeing that we're doing this radio show at the Eastern, they call it ECAT, Eastern Community Access Television Studio, I wanted to salute the town of Eastern as they plan and prepare for their 300th anniversary celebration. That's going to be in 2025. It's going to be a giant year-round celebration. And of course, there's a committee appointed by the select board in the town of Easton that's planning and preparing for this year. With all the craziness going on around the world, I think it's nice to know that the community of Easton, Massachusetts is going to celebrate. They're going to have a first event celebration during the month of January 2025. There'll be a block party, there'll be a parade, there'll be an art and cultural festival. There'll be fireworks headed up by the fire chief in the town. There'll be a family picnic, there'll be concerts, there'll be a bonfire. There'll be a gala at the end, so get out the tuxedos, folks. If you're in the Bristol County area, because it'll be big-time celebration. All the schools have been involved, including Southeast Regional. They're going to make a cake for the gala. The select board's going to cut it. That's not till December 27, 2025. There's going to be a family fun day. There's going to be activity at Borland State Park. And I understand that there's going to be lots of events taking place in all the facilities. And this is a community, the town of Easton, that has all those historic buildings. They have the Governor Oliver Ames complex, I should say, field. They have lots of things planned. So I congratulate once again the town of Easton for putting together, planning, and preparing, just like your community did when they planned the 250th anniversary celebration. So right now, we're going to take a short break. I'm Dave Clifton, happy to host this show called Service Matters. This is our 15th year of broadcasting live, talking about the good things that happen. Hurry back.
In 2023, Easton is a tight-knit community of 25,000 people. But with the hustle and bustle of modern life, it's easy to forget our past. A time when Easton's population was 6,000.
Everybody knew who everybody was.
And there was respect.
There was respect for for everyone.
When kids enjoyed great freedom and independence.
Everybody was poor at today's standards, but we all were in the same boat and we enjoyed life.
So join me, Priscilla Almquist Olson, as I explore what makes Easton so very special with some of its lifetime residents.
I think Easton has so much to offer. And if you're living in a community, you have to know it.
Watch Growing Up in Easton Tuesdays at 7 p.m. and Friday at 9 p.m. See you then.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of For the Love of Words.
After a three-year hiatus, join me, John Holgerson, and
Priscilla Almquist Olson,
as we interview poets and musicians.
Could you give the audience a little summary of your background as a child?
When I turned seven or so, we were car bombed. That stuck out.
And have them share their love of words.
Sometimes I wonder, do you ever think of me?
A thin broth of moonlight caught in the trees spreads across the garden brush, so one side of every stick shimmers while the other sides melt into one another, a mass grave of cherry, pear, and pine.
For the Love of Words at 7 p.m. on Thursdays.
At ECAT, we're here to keep you connected and involved in the community. On ECAT, you can explore the town with Gail Devins.
Hello, I'm Gail Devins, and welcome to our show, Discover Easton.
Tell your story with Harrison Young on Topic Time.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Topic Time with Harrison Young on ECAT.
Learn something new with the Ames Free Library. Relax with the Ron Van Dam Show.
Ron Van Dam Show, that's who I am. I'm Ron Van Dam. Thank you so much.
Check in on the latest in live town meetings.
2022 Select Board meeting and Happy New Year.
Stay up to date with Oliver Ames High School news and live sports.
Tiger Talk.
Share your thoughts on the community forum.
Welcome to Community Forum.
And listen to some exciting new music. So stay connected with Easton Community Access Television.
Welcome back to another segment of Service Matters. You know, after doing this show for 15 years, Mike, we've had all kinds of guests. We've had everybody from professional athlete to doctors to nurses to Boy Scouts to Girl Scouts.
Yep.
Anybody and everybody that's provided some service, including the military service. We've been able to salute the veterans. And it's a great opportunity to pat in the back all the people that do terrific things. And I always think, Mike, about the folks in local communities that they do it unannounced. I always think of that guy that was shopping at Shaw's, and he decided that the woman in front of him had two carriages. And he said, ma'am, how many children do you have? And she said, well, I have seven. And she had three of them with them. They had two carriages. He said, I'd like to pay for your shopping. He said, I'd like to do this good deed. And she said, well, that's not necessary. And he bounced back and said, I insist, I'd like to do this. It would make me feel good. That's a perfect example of someone who reaches out to do something good for someone that can make a difference. It can make a dream real for someone out there in a local community that might be having a tough time. Let's get back to the theater. You have always enjoyed, with a smile on your face, performing on stage. It doesn't necessarily have to be a camera, but how do you practice? How do you prepare? Do you have to memorize lines?
Oh, my goodness.
Do you speak from the cuff?
Well, no, it's everything. What I do, we do stage plays, and they have a script, and the actors have to memorize the script. So that is a challenge. And it wasn't until, it isn't a lot different than when I was in school and the teacher would say, you have to memorize this stuff. And then, so at nighttime, we would memorize it. And then the next day, they'd give us a test and I would flub it all up because I really hadn't memorized it. I thought I had memorized it, but when I came down to the challenge, I didn't have it. And so in theater, you're going to be on stage. You have to have it. So you have rehearsals. And as a director, I will sort of manage the rehearsals. And one of the things I think about is how each actor is, are they competent on their lines? Do they know them? And if they don't know them, I never say, hey, you got to learn it. I always say, well, that's my fault as a manager. So what I have to do is do something to help them do their lines, which is, we're going to rehearse this scene again tomorrow. And then we'll rehearse it again the next day until that actor is comfortable on their lines. So that's one of the things as a director I would have to do. Now, you raise the question, if I'm in a play, and as I've gotten older, it's not so easy. I don't know if you know this, but as you get older, it's harder to memorize. It is. So what I do...
It becomes hard to remember.
You're darn right. So if I'm going to do a play, and I'm going to be a principal in it, and I've done this many times, then I want a year's notice. And I usually spend the summer, 2 months at least, in my backyard, in underneath my canopy, and doing the memorizing. And I will suggest that to anybody who is not really cool at memorizing. So now I have actors, some that do it real well. I have some young actors that can rehearse a scene 3 times and be off book, but they're very special. Most people can't do that. Most people have to work at it. And then, so that's basically it.
I got to tell you a story, Mike. Back in your hometown, we had an active community theater group, and it turned out that the person that was supposed to perform got sick.
Yeah.
So they came into my office at the community center. It was Dear Me, The Sky Is Falling was the name of the production.
Yeah.
And it was a key person who had a lot of lines. And they come in the office and said, you got to help us out. I don't know why I said yes, but I'm not used to saying no.
Yeah.
And I ended up going home and staying up all night to learn the lines.
Yeah.
And I had to ad-lib a little bit.
Yeah.
And somehow it came out okay. That's the only production I've ever been in.
Well, I've had instances where that has happened, and the usual thing in our business is we have some I go to one of the really good actors and say, hey, I want you here on book. So they do the play with the script in their hand. And actually it works out fine. And good actors can pull that off effectively. And I saw it, I've seen it done that way, and I've called on people to do it that way. I've even had situations where a person who was stumbling so much, and they hadn't done the work, and they were stumbling so much, and we're into tech week, and we're going to go with an audience in 2 days, and I've said, you're fired. And I call on somebody, a good actor, say, come on in, I want you on book. And that person on book works out fine. You can't have somebody stumbling because they don't give their cues right for the other actors. And so they ruin the whole thing if they don't know their lines. So that's it. So, but the short answer is I work all summer memorizing something I might be doing in December.
Well, you got the talent to do that, Mike. I've seen you perform, and you've been doing it for years. And I know you get a lot of personal satisfaction from being on stage. And now you have the responsibility of kind of running the show and checking up and making sure that people rehearse. But it's something that you did it when you were in school. You learned how to be a performer and you took it with you the rest of your life.
Well, I think that theater, acting, is great. Great for developing people. We always talk about teaching young people, but it's also old people too. In fact, I'm doing we're doing some theater classes right now for in an assisted living facility with 80-year-olds. And I start out by telling them, you can be better at this than my associate here who's 30, because as an 80-year-old, you have much more to draw on in your life experience. And you can find those things in you that are relevant to your performance, while maybe a 30-year-old or doesn't have that depth of experience. Usually an older person has had children. They know what parenthood is like. They maybe held their child in their hands when they were newborn. And those are experiences that a lot of people don't have. So anyway.
Well said. We're going to take another short break. I'm Dave Clifton here along with my guest, Mike Kiernan. He's very much into theater production. And hurry back, folks.
There's a storm.
Join me, Priscilla Almquist-Olson, to explore the town of Easton and its interesting, engaging, ordinary, and extraordinary people, and meet a smorgasbord of guests, including artists, authors, musicians, business owners, community organizations, clergy, local leaders, etc., etc., etc. Community Forum at 3 p.m. on Thursdays and 1:30 p.m. on Saturdays. See you then.
Hi, I'm Jen from Fantasy Crafts. Turn your average household items into fun for the whole family. Let your imagination run wild.
It was my decision. You be quiet over there.
Fantasy Crafts, playing Monday at 3 p.m., Wednesday at 1 p.m., only at ECAT.
See you there.
Sick of all the new shows and movies dominating pop culture? Well, have no fear, because old-time movie and old-time TV are here, where we like to add our own flair.
There's a truck out front, and if we could just get the keys...
Man, are you crazy?
Are you out of your mind? Those are flesh-eating zombies. They upended our car, okay? We're lucky to be alive, especially Joe. I had to pull him out of the trunk, for crying out loud.
It's been a long day.
Also, make sure to check out the Radiocast, our accompanying podcast where we talk about what we've watched.
There was a lot of moments of just Mac on the raft going down the river, just internal monologuing over and over and over.
We show the classics and nothing but the classics. Well, except for the weird ones. Check us out on all our channels as well as our YouTube.
Welcome back to another segment of Service Matters. We like to talk about the good things that are happening. And we have someone else that had contacted me to remind our listening and viewing audience about a special trivia night that's coming up. It's a fundraiser for the Rotary Club of Sharon, Massachusetts. And of course, there's going to be prizes. There'll be raffle. There'll be food. It's going to be at the Castle Island Brewing Company. And that's located on Astor Avenue in Norwood, Massachusetts. And there's still time to sign up if anyone out there is interested. It's kind of a fun night. It gets your brain working, thinking about responding to some of the questions that come up. But I would like to say that Diane Needle is the coordinator, and she can be reached at 781-853-8366. I'll repeat that number once again, 781-858-8366. If you're looking for tickets for the trivia night, which will be held on Wednesday, April 3rd, and it'll be from 6 to 9 p.m. Mike, you had something you wanted to mention to the audience.
Yeah, I just wanted to point out where we are located right now. The next play we're doing is Come Blow Your Horn. It's by Neil Simon. And incidentally, it's Neil Simon's first stage play.
Very popular.
Yeah, it's what put him into the stage play business. He had been a television writer until he did this thing, and the rest is history. He's been a fabulously successful playwright, and his plays are wonderful to perform. Now, we're going to be doing that in June and July at Temple Sinai, and that's open to the public, and you can find more information about that play or anything we're doing on our website, which is newenglandrep.org, newenglandrep.org. You can find it there. And you can also get a history of what I've been doing. I got a list of everything that I've been involved in for the last 30 years that's on that website. So anyway, that's going on.
And right, we repeat that once again, New England Rep.
It's New England Rep. That's one word, newenglandrep.org.
Got it.
And the other thing I'm doing right now, just to maybe be of interest, is we're doing drama lessons. We're actually developing some actors at an assisted living facility. I don't want to mention the name of it, but just think of octogenarians who are learning to act, or some of them probably acted in their life, but that's what we're doing now. It's really, really fun. And they're enjoying it.
And Mike, what could you recommend to a young person that may have some interest in theater, but a little nervous about speaking publicly and performing? Like the young person that's in our studio today, I have no idea if he's been involved in theater.
Well, I can tell something about him. He's not bashful. He likes to speak up, so he'd be fine. But even the person who, I have one of my best actors was nonverbal when he was a child, and his mother put him in a theater group, and he was there. He was 4 years old, hadn't spoken yet, he was nonverbal, but he became a great actor.
I think that's a great way to put yourself in a spot where you have to present. And I think they teach that in the schools today.
Oh, yeah, they should.
You have to get used to presenting papers and standing up in front of a group.
Speaking up.
I've never had that problem speaking in front of a group. The only time I hesitated when I was asked to learn some lines and do a production with 24 hours before the show began.
Well, that would be, yeah, that would be something.
That was a toughie. But any comments you'd like to make about being on radio and TV at the same time?
It's fun.
Once again, tell the audience your name.
My name is Jane Tebow. I think it's a really good and fun experience for like young people like me to be like on a show that's been going on for a long, long time and like a broadcast. It's just good to like get out there.
Yeah.
Well said. Mike, I started to ask you some words of advice that you give to young people that are thinking about going on stage. I know you touched upon it, but is there anything else you could add that might be helpful to them?
Well, I would just say, go at it in the theater groups, community theater or theater groups in school, and go at it with some heart and take it seriously and work at it, because they will get a lot out of it. It's the most, it does so much in developing a person. It helps them to, first of all, it helps them to communicate, to drive their words through somebody else so they hear them. It helps them to listen. It helps them to read. There's a saying, well, you'll understand this, it's what's in the heart, it's not what's in the head. So if you speak to the heart, then people will get the point. You don't try and talk to the head. You speak to the heart, and the head will follow.
Would you recommend that young people get involved in public speaking courses?
I don't know what they're like. I used to.
Yeah.
I remember when at one time I was in Toastmasters, but I don't know what's available to young people as far as speaking. But I don't know.
Some high schools offer that course, and I know they offer it in college.
Well, it'd probably be good.
But it's a good experience to be able to stand up in front of a group, present yourself, present your ideas.
Yeah.
And
there's something about the total development. I found that the Boy Scouts brought that out in me. I found approval there, just in the process there, so that by the time I was in school, like from middle school on, I
felt comfortable.
Yeah, I had no trouble speaking up. I had no trouble at all. And in fact, that's why they would put me on the student council and all that kind of thing, because I was comfortable speaking, taking command of the situation, listening, whatever.
It's interesting. I've done a lot of emceeing and public speaking. And sometimes when you look at the audience, you can get a pretty good idea how they feel about the subject you're talking about.
Yeah.
Or whether or not you're going too long.
Oh, yeah.
Or whether or not there's no interest in your topic of discussion. So you can read the faces. When they got a smile on their face and they're shaking their head up and down, means yes.
Well, so much of that depends on your presentation. If they're sleeping in the front row, that's distracting, because that'll really do it. I give the technique when you first go on stage is to stand there, get comfortable, don't talk, wait 20 seconds, absorb the audience, listen to them while it's all silent until you have their attention.
Now, when I see people that may be sleeping, what I do to get out of it is I say, We'll be right back after these messages. Please join us for our final segment of Service Matters.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, residents of Easton, friends and neighbors. This is Bill Ames,
co-host with Priscilla Almquist Olson of the Film Connection.
On ECAT now for over 20 years. We're very proud of that.
And we like to interview guests from Easton who have been involved in the film business.
Actors, producers. We're very fortunate today to have a producer of a film.
Hello and welcome to Easton News. I'm Joe Taft.
And I'm Jack Ryan, and together we bring you everything you need to know about Easton, including politics.
The town of Easton is undertaking a crucial public safety and public works facilities replacement project to enhance essential services for the community.
Community events.
Mark your calendars and get your costumes ready. The Easton Food Pantry will be hosting a Halloween parade.
And sports.
Boys soccer stayed hot, defeating Stoughton 2-1. That was the team's fifth straight division title and fourth in a row in the Davenport.
With APCSM guest segment Pet of the Week.
Hi, I'm Katie with the Animal Protection Center, and today we have a little Iris.
With help from special correspondent Wyatt Fain. Join us
for Easton News.
Playing 6 o'clock Friday, Saturday, and Sundays.
Hey, are you a fan of history? If so, come for adventure with me, your host Drew Daugherty, as we explore some of the most impactful events of all time. We talk about U.S. history. These events led up to the creation of the first Continental Congress. World history. The Allied forces consist of France, the United Kingdom, Russia, Japan, and Italy, and influential figures.
The legacy of Martin Luther King is one of selflessness, and he never stopped believing in the equal and free America.
You'll get my takes and opinions, so come along for adventure on Drew's Venture History TV. Check us out between your recently scheduled programming as well as on YouTube. Thank you.
Welcome back to the final segment of Service Matters. Mike Kiernan is my guest here in the TV studio. And again, I say to the audience out there that we not only have a listening audience, but we have a viewing audience. Unfortunately, people can't call in, or they're calling my cell phone because they want to talk and have some discussion. But that's why the phone once in a while goes off. I did want to ask you, Mike, have been involved in a community for a number of years. And on this show, we like to talk about good things that are happening. Is there anything you could say about some good things that you're aware of that people do that you would like to recognize them for? I gave you an example of what some guy did shopping.
Oh.
I'll give you another one at Dunkin' Donuts. The guy in front of another person decided to pay the bill for the person behind him.
I was the recipient of that one time. Rosalie and I, we were at a restaurant over on Route 1, and we went to pay the bill, and they said, somebody just paid your bill for you. That was kind of wonderful.
I had that happen. Yeah. As a matter of fact, I caught up to them in the car.
I didn't catch up with the people. I just...
When I caught up with them, I said, you left so quickly, I wanted to get another donut. But anyways, and I'm not trying to make fun of the people that do good things, but you can make a happy day for someone just by doing what you can to step up to the plate, I call it. You're not going to get a chance to hit a home run. But you can make someone feel pretty good that someone paid for their coffee. But I'd like to say that we're so happy over at WPRO to have some outstanding talk show hosts. I'm talking about Gene Valicente. He's on the air from 6 to 9 a.m. Tara Granahan has 3 hours from 9 to 12. Matt Allen... He has the noon to 3 p.m. And finishing up, we have Dan York, who does 3 to 6 p.m. And both Gene and Dan also do some TV work here in the Rhode Island area. We call it the Ocean State. And it's nice to know that somebody from Connecticut said to me one time, I heard that show, Service Matters. We should have more shows like that, just talking about the good things that happen. So, Mike, what are some of your hobbies? You don't have any time for any hobbies right now. You just concentrate on theater.
Well, you know, my Civil War stuff, don't you? You ever heard about that? I wrote a Abraham Lincoln monologue. It's an hour and a half, and I've done it in many schools and colleges and things like that around. I got very interested in Civil War, and that's basically my reading interest is where I do a lot of reading in Civil War stuff. Actually, right now I'm reading about the War of 1812, but I saw a presentation by a woman living history presentation on Dolly Madison just the other night at the Ames Estate at Borderland, and I was interested in what she was talking about. So got me reading the War of 1812.
It's amazing how she spoke for an hour and 15 minutes.
Were you there?
Yes.
You know, I just did something there too. I did introduced Kevin Friend's film about Blanche Ames, and
that was terrific.
I played Oaks Ames. Did you see that?
I think I saw you. Weren't you up in the
up on the balcony?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Just it was a short 10-minute.
That's something that the town of Easton, I should say, the Friends of Borderland are going to do, hopefully for the 300th anniversary.
Yeah.
Do a couple of productions.
Yeah.
I know they did one at Stonehill College.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So
Blanche Ames film is going to be.
She's amazing.
Yeah. That's going to be done again at the Sharon Library in this next week or so coming up. I saw some notice about it.
Do you know the date and time for that?
I don't.
Could announce?
No, they could find it, I'm pretty sure.
We can mention it the next show. We'd like to thank our young fellow for joining us here on the air today. I hope that you've got a little wisdom to want to do some radio work or some TV work. You got a face for TV. I have a face for radio. But and Mike agrees. But
I was going to say,
let me give a shout out and thank you to Brett Ferruccio, our producer back at the Providence studio, WPRO. And certainly Alan Carrero, we thank you for producing the show and pushing the right buttons here at the TV station.
I'd like to thank you for having me here. I enjoyed this.
Well, we had 10 people vote on it. We were able to bring you on 6-4.
Yeah, okay, good.
I'm kidding, but...
Is it 4 or 6?
I wanted to thank you, Mike, for all the good things you've done in your community over the years and for all the fine productions you have participated in. And there are people out there that are interested in theater, and there are companies out there, there are towns and communities that are interested in people.
Go to our website and you can contact me through that. I'd be happy to get you involved.
Why don't you mention that website once again?
NewEnglandRep.org. NewEnglandRep.org.
Very good. I only say that in case someone's driving over a bridge.
You can find it on Facebook too. You could go.
Any final comment you'd like to make before we sign off?
No, I'm good. Thank you.
And again, we thank our audience that reaches out to Southern New England. And we thank our TV audience here in the Bristol, Norfolk area. It's a pleasure to be able to talk about good things that are happening. So I say to each and every one of you, go forth to serve. Do it with a smile on your face. And if you're going to do something good to help someone out, do it with the dignity that it deserves. And we always end our show with my favorite song, What a Wonderful World, sung by Louis Armstrong.
Oh, wow.
And what a wonderful world it is because of people like Mike Kiernan, who steps up to the plate to do what he can to help his neighbors. That ends our folks. Have a good weekend and stay involved.